Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I want to speak to you today out of the book of Mark. I want to start in the first chapter, verse 16. And we're just going to walk along with Jesus for a couple of days. Is that okay with everybody? We're just going to follow him. There's a great sign off, following Jesus together. Let's do that this morning together in the Word of God. We're just going to follow him, see where he goes, see what he does. There are ways that we can walk through life. Some people walk through life filled with fear. Some people walk through life courageously. Some people walk through life and they have a really positive attitude. Nothing gets them down. Some people walk through life joyfully. I always call Jackson Joyful Jack. Some people can live in the moment and enjoy every minute. Some people are living in the future. Some people live in the past. And as I was in the Word this week, I thought, I want to live amazed. I just want to live amazed. And I maybe you'll follow along with me, and maybe by the end of it, you too will be living amazed. Let's give it a try. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew, and they were throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Fishermen. Some of you guys are thinking, now that's a great way to make a living. I think it's maybe a hard way to make a living, but it was their livelihood. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people or fish for men." So here's these guys. They went to work that morning. Now, we know if we read the other Gospels that they'd had other encounters with Jesus. This wasn't their very first encounter with Jesus. But there they are. They're preparing for their day's work. They're at their livelihood. These two men are at their livelihood. When Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people or for men." And they left their nets at once and followed him. Does that amaze anybody? I want to tell you, that amazes me. Because we know for sure that Simon Peter had a family. He had a wife, and he had a mother-in-law, and we're going to see that later on in the passage this morning. So there you are at your job, and you are responsible to take care of your family, and Jesus comes along, and he says, "Follow me," and you go, "Okay," and you put down your livelihood. That is amazing to me. And yet, in God's kingdom, there are people that do that. God calls them, and missionaries will put down whatever they're doing, and they go off to the farthest regions. Please, God, don't call me to be a missionary. I don't think I'm tough enough. They put down what they're doing, and they go off into foreign lands, and they sacrifice everything. That is amazing. That is amazing to me. A little further up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's son, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. There they are. They're busy about their business. And he called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men. That is amazing. That is amazing to me. That these men would be about their business. They're in a family business. Now, my husband, for a number of years, worked in his family business. His father had started we'd moved to BC, and Gilly was finishing his bachelor's degree in political science and history, and he was enrolled in law school, and he was going to go to law school in BC when his father called him and said, "This business is taking off. This electrical business that I've started is taking off. I want you to come home, and I want you to work with me." So we left Vancouver, and we came back to Calgary, and for years and years and years, those two men labored together in a family business that they both enjoyed and loved working together. And I just can't imagine in this family business that Jesus would come and he would say, "Follow me," and they're going to leave. And it says they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat Bye, Dad. See ya. We're off. And who knows, that it says here, with the hired men, and I kind of wonder, did they give up their inheritance? Did they also give up their inheritance? That is amazing to me, that Jesus could call on you and you just put, you walk away from your father, you walk away from your career, from your livelihood, and you follow him. So now he's got these four men and they're following him. And we're going to look at the first day that they're together. This is the first day, day one. Okay, we've put down everything, and now we're going to follow him. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. And when the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogue and he began to teach. This is really exciting. They're following their Lord and their master. The people were what? Amazed at his teaching. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Of course he did. He is the Word. The Word is bringing the Word. How's that for authority? You're sitting under the Word bringing the Word. That is amazing. And they could tell the difference. It's like when you're giving your testimony, it's got power and it's got authority. Why? Because you lived it. Because you are it. It is you. It happened to you. You have an authority when you're giving your testimony. Nobody can argue. Nobody can argue your testimony because it happened to you. Nobody can argue the testimony of the Lord. He's speaking about himself. This is amazing. These guys are amazed. Suddenly, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit began shouting. Now, this is not maybe exactly what they expected to be happening on day one of following their Lord and Savior. Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. This is what this man in the... Now, can you imagine if we're sitting here, we're just minding our own business, we're following Jesus together, and somebody stands up and starts shouting, why are you interfering with us? That's a big kerfuffle on day one. And Jesus cut him short. Be quiet. Come out of that man, he ordered. And at that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and then came out of him. Day one. Day one. Amazement gripped. Amazement. They're amazed. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. What sort of new teaching is this? They asked excitedly. It has such authority, even evil spirits obey his orders. And the news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. That's quite a morning in church, wouldn't you say? Quite a morning. Well, after that, Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, and they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now, Simon's mother-in-law, see, told you so. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. How many of you have ever had a high fever? It is dreadful. I think when you have a high fever, you're pretty sure you're going to die. It is just an awful feeling. And they told Jesus about her right away. Jesus walks in the door and they say, whoa, Simon Peter's mother, she's really sick. She's got a high fever. So he went to her bedside. He took her hand. He just took her hand and helped her sit up. And then the fever left her and she prepared a meal. She got up. Come on. That's amazing. That's amazing. You're laying in bed with a high fever 1 minute and the whole family is super concerned about you. Jesus walks through the door, he takes your hand and he helps you get up, and then you're cooking supper? That's amazing. That evening, this is still day one. Day one following Jesus. You've seen him casting out evil spirits. You saw him lifting up this sick woman off a deathbed. And then she's cooking you supper. And the next thing that happens, that evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. It's dark. Sun is set. The whole town, everybody in town, gathered at the door to watch. Can you imagine? I would just, someday God just let the whole town gather at our front door, whole city outside to see what Jesus is going to do. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he didn't allow them to speak. He wasn't giving them an inch. But here he is. Whole town is gathered, and he's healing people, and he's casting out demons. And I want to tell you, that is amazing. If we saw one healing, we would all, that is amazing. Now the whole town is there, and he's healing many people, one after another. And people are being delivered from demonic forces. That's amazing. Now, day two. Before daybreak, the next morning, Jesus got up and he went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. That's a long day. You know, he's up after sunset and he's up early. When they found him, they said, "Everyone's looking for you. What are you doing out here? Everybody, the whole town is out here looking for you." But Jesus replied, "Well, we must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That's why I came. I came to preach to other people." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. You know how many people, if I had such an amazing ministry that the whole town was gathered outside my door and I was healing sick people and I was delivering people of demons, I want to tell you the last thing I would do is leave town. All Lord's people said, amen. If you got a successful ministry going on, the last thing you're going to do is say, "Well, I'm out of here. I got somewhere else to go." That's amazing. You just don't walk away from that. Whole town sitting outside my door waiting for me to do something. I say, "Well, see you later, folks. I'm out." What? A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. So lepers are unclean. They're not to approach people, and you certainly shouldn't be touching them because you might get leprosy. They were unclean, and they had to, when they were coming through town, they had to say, "Unclean, unclean, I'm unclean. Everybody get back, I'm unclean." Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and what? He touched him. That's amazing. "Jesus, you amaze me. I'm willing," he said, "be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Are you amazed or are you so used to Jesus? I think we should be amazed over and over and over again. Don't let them be words, be amazed. Our God is an awesome God. And then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. "Don't tell anybody about this." I'll tell you, that's the last thing I'd be saying. I'd say, "Now you go tell everybody how awesome this was." "Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses," because when you were healed, you had to go to the priest and you had to take an offering, and then all the priest declared you clean. This way, the priest is going to get the credit. This will be a public testimony that you've been cleansed. But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He couldn't go anywhere now because everybody knew something was going on. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. It is so amazing the things that they saw him do. They wanted to follow him wherever he was going. And when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. And soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. People are packed inside this house. And while he was preaching God's word to them, we just love this story. It's got to be one of our favorite. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. The place is packed. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Come on. That's amazing. I just think, okay, so we're here today, and I'm just preaching away, and it's so crowded in here. It's so crowded. People can't even get in the front. And I'm up here preaching, and we hear, and you all be looking up, and I'm looking up. And suddenly, this guy... Come on, this is amazing. This guy gets lower down. Would you just be... Or would you be going, wait a minute. Come on, something's going on here. What is that? What is going on here? Are we just another day at Cornerstone? Down. With a chainsaw. We just fixed the roof. They dug a hole through the roof above his head, and then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith. I love that. Seeing their faith. Seeing the faith of these four guys. It doesn't say seeing the guy's faith that was laying paralyzed on the mat. It doesn't say that. Jesus said, man, look at these guys. They got faith. Seeing their faith. The faith of the friend. Everybody go find four friends like that. Go find four friends that would carry you on a mat and cut through the hole of a roof and lower you. Come on. Anybody want to volunteer to be my friend that's going to carry me around? I got one. Patrina, who will give me to carry me around? And Leanne's going to be my friend and cut a hole in a roof and lower me down right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. You are forgiven. Now, I love that part because, you know, there's no point healing the man. There's no point healing the man. If his heart's not right. So Jesus addresses the fact, you're forgiven for your sins. You are welcome. You're welcome. The paralyzed thing just isn't the most important thing right now. Most important thing is you're forgiven. You're cleansed. You're holy. You're going to heaven. But there's always some party poopers. But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves. So they're sitting there and they're looking at all this going on. Come on. So they're looking at what's going on. And this is what they're thinking. They're not thinking, wow, this is amazing that these people have cut a hole through this roof and they've lowered this. What they're thinking to themselves is, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Only God. Get the point, folks. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. That's amazing. That's amazing to me. That I have a Lord, a Savior, and a King who knows what I'm thinking. Does that not amaze you this morning? He's sitting in that room. They're thinking something, and he just looks at him and goes, I don't know what you guys are thinking. That is actually scary, but it's also amazing. Sometimes I wish God didn't know what I was thinking. God, forgive me for all those things I'm thinking that I shouldn't be thinking. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Wouldn't that be funny? And he's looking like, well, why are you thinking that? Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? Well, so I'll prove to you that the Son of Man has authority. He said, watch this. I'm going to prove to you that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. And then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man. Don't you wonder where were the four friends? Are they still peering through the roof? Or did they like drop down with him? Shinny down? So Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and he said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And that man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were what? They were all amazed. They were amazed. We need to be amazed. I'm amazed. I want to be amazed. I want to live in amazement. I want to live in amazement of my Lord, my Savior, and my King. That there's not a day that I don't marvel. Not a day that I don't marvel at who he is, at what he's done. Let's be amazed. Let's be a people of amazement. You know that there's a emoji in your, is that, you know, the, and it's got a really big face and it's got really big eyes. That should be our emoji. I just go walk around amazed. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." And I'm telling you, we will never see anything greater than Jesus ever again, anywhere, ever. It is amazing. And then Jesus went out to the lakeshore again, and he taught the crowds that were coming to him. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth, not the most popular guy in town. How many of y'all love the tax man? We're supposed to. So there's Levi. Nobody likes Levi. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. That is amazing. That God would go to someone like Levi, who's seen as a traitor to his own people. And out of all the people there, Jesus goes over to the tax collector's booth, and he looks at Levi in the eye, and he says, "You follow me. You follow me." So Levi got up. He left his job. And he followed Jesus. And later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other, listen up, disreputable sinners. Levi's friends were disreputable sinners. And he had a whole house full of them. And to this dinner party, he invites Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to sit with all these disreputable sinners. And there were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. Does that bring a sense of relief to anybody here but me? I am so glad that I can be counted among one of those people. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum? Why does he eat with people like this? They're disgusting. They're the lowest of the low. He shouldn't be eating with people like that." When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they're sinners." That's amazing. What kind of a God comes out and collects a bunch of sinners like us and says, "Follow me"? Oh God, you are amazing. Once, when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, "Why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do?" Isn't that a holy question? You guys should be fasting, you know. And Jesus says, "Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom?" Can you imagine? You're getting all ready for the wedding, and the groom is there, and all you've got your sackcloth and ashes on, and you're grieving away in your sackcloth and ashes while the groom sits there. They can't fast while the groom is with them, but someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they'll fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. Jesus is saying, there's a new garment in town. We're not going to cut up the new garment and try and paste it on something old that's happened before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. There's new wine. I'm new wine. I'm something fresh and new. For the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskin. Jesus said, follow this new and living way. Walk ye in it. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain? Harvesting, really? Really right now? They're walking through the grain field. They're snapping off a few pieces of grain. Harvesting, there's no harvest. There's no plow. Just stop it. Why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? And Jesus said to them, haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? Now he's talking scripture right back to them. I love that. He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread. Remember when David was running for his life and he and his troops were starving? And they ran into the house of the Lord and they took the showbread and they ate it? Eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions. David broke up that sacred bread and fed the troops. And then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. There is a people, while we're walking in amazement, while we are walking in amazement, while Jesus is walking in community with us doing all these amazing things, there are fault finders out there. There are people who are going to be critical. There are people who are going to bring accusations. There are people that are going to try and take your amazement and crush your amazement. But I think that we should be amazed anyway. I think that we need to stay amazed. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. Now what's he going to do now? Here it is. You're in the synagogue, and here's this man, and he's got a deformed hand. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. We're going to trap this guy one way or another. And Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. He didn't just usher him out to the washroom or into his office and say, okay, now I know it's a Sabbath right now, and we're not going to let anybody know what I'm going to do. He said, come on up here. Come on up here and stand up here. And then he turned to his critics and he asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. And he looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. And then he said to the man, hold out your hand. And so the man held out his hand, and it was restored right in front of them all. That's amazing. That is amazing. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. Instead of standing there and being amazed, they went out to plot to kill him. That's a hard heart that won't be moved by what they saw. They wouldn't even believe what they saw. Jesus went out to the lake with his disciples, and a large crowd followed him. They came from all over Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, from east of the Jordan, and even from as far as Tyre and Sidon. The news about his miracles had spread far and wide, and vast numbers of people came to see him. Jesus instructed his disciples to have a boat ready so the crowd would not crush him. There are so many people he could be crushed. He had healed many people that day, so all the sick people eagerly pushed forward to touch him. And whenever those possessed by evil spirits caught sight of him, the spirits would throw them to the ground in front of him, shrieking, "You are the Son of God!" But Jesus sternly commanded the spirits not to reveal who he was. This is a scene packed, people, confusion, chaos, healings, demonic possession, people screaming. This is a scene of chaos. Chaos. And Jesus, to the point where Jesus is saying to his disciples, let's get a boat. Let's get out of here so that I don't get crushed into this chaotic scene. Comes a holy, holy moment that we're going to embrace this morning together as a church. I want you to listen very carefully. Afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him. Jesus went up on a mountain out of that chaotic crowd, and he called out the ones He wanted to go with him. And I'm telling you today, that's you. And that should amaze you. That amazes me. That out of the chaos, out of the confusion of my life, of this world, that Jesus would call out the ones he wanted, and we are counted among them. Do you ever sit in amazement that he called you? I am amazed. I am amazed. God, do you know how messed up? God, do you know how messed up I was? How confused as a kid I was? Why would you call out my name? We should be amazed. He called out the ones he wanted to go with him, and they came to him. He called you by name. He called you specifically. And you came. You came. And that is amazing. Are you grateful for that day that he called you out? And he knew all about you. He knew all about you. And he still called you. And then he appointed 12 of them. He called out all the ones he wanted, then he took 12 of them and he said, okay, we're going to separate you 12 for different things. But that's not where I live. I live in the fact that he went up on the mountain and he called out the ones he wanted to come. And that's me. And that's you. Don't ever stop being amazed that he saw you. So be amazed and stay amazed. Be amazed that he can deliver you from evil. Be amazed. Be amazed that he's forgiven you for everything you've ever done or ever said or ever thought. You stand forgiven, completely cleansed before the Lord. There is nothing in you. Be amazed. Be amazed that he can stretch out his hand of healing power and he can heal you. Be amazed. Be amazed. Be amazed that he knows your thoughts. It's amazing. You know, you might not be understood by anybody on the planet. Nobody on the planet. No, maybe no. I know I lived in a family. Nobody really got me. There was three of these things, and then there was one that was not like the other. But do you know who knows me? Jesus knows me. He knows the inside of you. He knows every tear you've cried. He knows every heartache that you've suffered. He knows you like nobody knows you. Pearl Hayes always said, and she's not here today, so I can say this. Hi, Pearl, love you. She always says, Katie, I know you better than you know yourself. And I always yell at her when she says that. Jesus knows me. Jesus knows you. And I want us today to be amazed at that moment. And we are following him, and we're following him all through the pages, all through the pages of this scripture. And I think every time we open the Word of God, we need to be amazed at what is contained within these pages. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, church.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.